are three things I truly want you to understand. The first one is choose education that fills the gap. I had a coach that said something to me that was so powerful. And he said, I hate sharing this with you. He said, because my job is to sell you courses, but I don't want you to take a course that is not going to be valuable for you. Meaning that he said to me in so many words, what he was saying to me was, hey, don't take this course just because it sounds good, but take it because you have a gap in your area. So here's an example. If you're a new project manager, let's say you're a coordinator and you want to transition into project management. If you don't have your CAPM and you believe the CAPM is important, which I do, but again, it's subjective, you should be studying the CAPM material. You should be studying vocabulary, understanding the lingo, understanding schedules and things of that nature. That is filling a gap for you because you don't understand currently right now because you're a coordinator. Unless you've been a coordinator for, you know, X amount of years, then of course you would know the lingo as well as understand the different aspects of project management. But I'm saying if you're new, if you're less than a year, yeah, you probably want to go after your CAPM. I would, if I was mentoring you, if I was coaching you, I would say, hey, how serious are you about this? Hey, you all in? Go get your CAPM first before you go get your PMP, even though I know you wouldn't have the experience just yet to get your PMP, but we want to start with the CAPM. And then eventually we want to move to the PMP after you get some more years and experiences under your belt. Plus it's going to allow you to know, hey, is this something that just sounded good at the time that you was interested in, that you thought you was committed to? So you don't have so much skin in the game that you feel frustrated that, man, I shouldn't have ever got started. So I always recommend that going after the CAPM is such a great certification. At the same time, watching videos like this so you can learn from. All right. By integrating these refined strategies into your approach, you're not just preparing to become a project manager. You're really shaping yourself into a leader ready to navigate the complexities of modern projects. If you're new to the channel, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, it just simply means Ed. I have an 8-point framework, and those 8 points, my goal, my mission, my job is to unpack today's title, which is entitled How to Become a Project Manager in 2024. Again, how to become a project manager in 2024. You know what, family, was so interesting about 2024 and reason why I put a year on it, because every year I want to create a version of this for each year as things change and everything, as things change with AI, with things change with, more remote work or less remote work. I really want to continue to bring value in that area. So before we even dig into the points, no, we're going right in. Point number one, choose education that fills gaps. I learned this from a gentleman named Steve. And Steve was talking about learning loops. And what learning loops is that you get fascinated with a thing like this thing here that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. And you get into a learning loop of watching videos. Please watch this video and all the rest of the videos. Okay, shameless plug, I apologize. But no, seriously though, family, you get into a learning loop. You start watching videos and maybe reading blogs and reading books. And then all of a sudden, you don't do anything with the information. You don't apply the information that you just learned. That's why in these videos, I always want to make them actionable so that way you can go take action. Like, you should be able to take one of these points and be actionable with them right away. And it's important, family. That's the reason why I push that so much, because I was that person. I'm falling into that trap, I literally got to stop what I'm doing and say, okay, what do I have so far? Okay, that's what I have. Let's go apply it. Let's go experiment. Because it's important, family. It is so important to, if you want to get in this thing called project management and be an actual project manager. So instead of pursuing degrees blindly, I did that. Identify your gaps in the skill set and choose a specific course to fill these gaps. You know, one of the most important things, there's so many important things in project management, but I'm speaking more from a soft skill, is communication. So for me, one of the things I did is I started reading books around communication. And then once I read a book or two, boom, I came to YouTube and just start. Let me see if I can test this out. But I mean, again, when you become a project manager, you're practicing communication more than you normally would in any other profession, because your ability to articulate the problem and then find a solution to the problem, or articulating where the project is going up to executive, is going to be important. So again, find courses, find books, find material that once you read the information, once you listen to the information, that right away you can go do something with it and apply. You know the saying, you know, they'll say, information is king, but I always say applied information is definitely king. Hey family, I really appreciate you joining and watching today's episode. Please hit that like button, hit that subscribe button as we continue to move forward and have success here on this channel with you definitely participating. Point number two, immerse yourself in project management culture. Now, this is what I actually really did. And I kind of stumbled into this, family, as far as immersing myself into the project management culture, because as I shared one of the very first videos or two, but it's probably a little bit later on. But what I did was, how did I fall in love, or how did I get my start in project management? And it was because a colleague that I work with, they were into project management, and I was just curious. So once I got a little taste of what it was about, I just started doing my homework and just doing a deeper dive on understanding the role, understanding the culture around project management. Like, I was looking at different forums, looking on social media and things of that nature, listening to podcasts. And listening and watching all of these different things, it helped me pick up the lingo. It helped me understand what were some of the challenges in project management and what were the trends. I'm going to tell you this. I can tell you, after doing all my homework and listening and watching and all these things, I think it's almost the same thing, listening and watching. But anyway, I should say reading and listening and watching. So I guess that sounds better. But anyway, family, I digress. What I'm saying is, I was able to understand what the challenges were in project management. And I'm going to give that secret to you for free right now. I wasn't even going to do this. I was going to use it on another video. But I said, you know what? I always got to over deliver for the family. So the secret of this, family, projects need people. Yeah. That is the number one source. So understanding people, how to influence, how to persuade, how to be able to be, to use empathy. So there's so many things there. So if you start focusing on people, you're going to take off. All right, let's move on to point number three. Master the art of agile and beyond. So really understanding the different frameworks and understanding the different methodologies that are used in project management. By doing this, this is going to give you an opportunity when you are an actual project manager to have a better success if you understand the frameworks. Better yet, this is what I would definitely recommend. If you're not a project manager already, start using some of these frameworks and methodologies in your personal life. Like, for instance, create a Kanban board. This will show you about, is a tool used in Agile. Use Scrum, and run sprints. Basically, these things that I'm talking about here are things and terminology and lingo basically that we use in project management, as well as like leveraging a waterfall methodology. Majority of projects, it's shifted a lot, but it used to be a lot of projects were run in a waterfall environment. But now you've seen the shift with Agile coming in more and more prevalent because you get results faster. But again, here's the caveat, and you'll learn this through the different lingos. All projects can't just be an agile project. I mean, you can't leverage Scrum for all projects. So to all my people that just want to have a one size fit all, like, because you love Scrum so much, I love it too, but it doesn't fit everything. But I digress. One point I'm trying to make, family, is take some of these frameworks and methodologies and apply them to your real world life. meaning your personal life, so you can figure out ways how, like what was the inconsistency like? And this way you're learning and teaching yourself at the same time. All right, let's move on to point number four. Leadership through self-reflection. Listen, I have to be honest with you, family. Leadership is going to be one of the key components as well as you are leading projects. I know they call it a project manager. So when you think of manager, you think of people and tasks. Yes, that is true. But also, they also left off the part about leadership. And we know leadership, as John Maxwell will talk about, is influence. Having the ability to influence people is such a powerful way. And at that same time, you want to figure out what your leadership style is. Maybe and when I say leadership style, I just don't mean that leadership style of this is how I lead things. No. When I'm saying leadership style, how can you switch up your leadership styles in different environments? Meaning, if you're in an environment where you have stakeholders that are more reactive instead of proactive, how can you lead a more aggressive, proactive approach to seeing problems ahead? If you have stakeholders that are proactive and really are on par, how do you learn to set back and allow that to be more self-controlling instead of stepping in and micromanaging? You do not want to be a micromanager in any of this as you're leading projects, because one thing about micromanaging is that you will lose the trust of your team. You will make people feel like you don't trust them. You will make people feel like you're attacking them. And when you attack them, they start losing self-confidence. Now, that's why I always say, find your leadership style, see what works for you, but understand leadership styles are different in different environments that you're presented with. So when you're leading a project, you say, okay, what type of leadership style am I going to have to use it for this? Okay, I got stakeholders that are proactive. They're not being reactive. They're collaborating together. So it's not, all right, maybe I could kind of let up a little bit, but and still have that opportunity to lead and be there. But what if I don't have that? And just you kind of get the gist of what I'm saying, family. Point number five, elevate your communication with empathy. One of the things as being a project manager, I always said they probably should have said we were a psychologist as well, because listen, you really have to have empathy and be empathetic and have active listening and listening to feedback from your stakeholders, because you're going to constantly be having interactions with your stakeholders. So having the ability to really have empathy when something comes up. Let's say, for instance, someone had to leave unexpectedly because of a family emergency. How can you have the empathy and not to say, well, you should have, as long as this is something that's not frequent, this is, you know, it was really a truly emergency. How can you embrace that stakeholder and say, hey, no worries, we got you covered. Is there anything we can do? So that's empathy, family. I've watched project managers that, wow, they would just, I won't even go there, but I've just watched project managers when they're leading projects, they are so animated about a stakeholder leaving because a family emergency came up or this came up, and they didn't show any sense or any ounce of empathy. And maybe that's because of the environment that they were in and they didn't know how to navigate. All right, let's move on to point number six. This is key. Seek diverse project experience. What does that mean? You want to aim for a variation of different project experiences, including like industry size, team size, and complexity. Why do you want to do this? Because this is going to help you, number one, enrich yourself in understanding projects better, as well as it's going to force you to be an adaptable project manager. There's nothing more successful or nothing more that organizations love than a project manager that's adaptable. Instead of them saying, hey, that's just not my job, they're adaptable. We get with the stakeholders, figure it out, and we get resources and make it happen. So point I'm trying to make, family, is you want to be that resource that seeks out a diverse project. When I started in, I mostly spent majority of my career in infrastructure. And then I was in applications. And then I did cybersecurity. So having all of these diverse, leading all these diverse projects really made me more well-rounded because I got to see the nuances that I know is there's one thing to be told, but then is another thing to experience it. That's key. All right, let's move on to point number seven. Goal setting with accountability. Listen, I know you're like, what do you mean? Family, when you make a decision to step into project management and be an actual project manager, one of the things is you have to hold your team accountable. And your milestones, again, in my opinion, are your actual goals. Everything else, the tasks that lead up into, or I should say are into your milestone is really an opportunity for you to be a thought leader with regards to leading the project more effectively because you have the goals. Your goals are your milestones. And having your goals as your milestones, now there's an accountability. Well, you know, if somebody said that they were going to deliver something and they didn't deliver it, how do you hold them accountable? And when do you say, okay, I understand that this happened? So again, going back to the empathy aspect of things, but still holding people accountable, because if you don't hold people accountable, I'm going to tell you, your project is just going to go off tracks very fast. All right, point number eight, interview preparation beyond the norm. One of the things I used to love doing when going in interviews, I used to love taking challenges that I experienced in leading projects and provide an action and an actual outcome. But here's the catch. I would do it more in a narrative type of style. What does that mean? I would tell a story. I would tell a story about how, and I would make it a minute or two at a very high level. And if they wanted to dig more, that's what you want. And then I went into more details. I need to do a video of interviewing questions, because I think it's going to be important for you when you decide to become a project manager, because there's certain interview questions that will get you tripped up, and I fell on my face. So I'm going to give you my homework that you can still, as Cody says, in the meantime. But seriously though, family, being able to tell how you had a challenge, how you overcame that challenge, and what was basically the end result of everything that you experienced in a 1 or 2 minute story time, or I should say narrative type approach, man, you're gonna blow the hiring manager out the water. They're gonna be shocked, because most people don't do that. Most people come in and it's like, tell me your strengths and weaknesses, and they just list them. They don't say, you know, I learned about that my strength was communication, and the reason why is because during an executive meeting, I kept noticing that they kept deferring to me instead of the program manager. They were coming to me as the project manager. So again, just giving examples. All right, here's a bonus for you. You want to find a way to curate your online presence. I know a lot of this scares a lot of people. They say public speaking is the number one fear that most people experience. And I don't blame you. I am not here to judge, but what I am trying to say is find out what your, if you were to be online, if what your online presence is. Are you more of a talker, or are you more of someone that likes to write? Are you a combination of both? And the reason why I say that is because you should be going on LinkedIn, or find you a social media platform that you enjoy. For me, it was YouTube and podcasting. I'm a talker, so I love writing too. So I'm a combination of both, really. But I understood that I wanted to start here. Do not get yourself overwhelmed of trying to be on this platform and that platform. You know, one of the things that was shared with me was like, oh, you need to be on LinkedIn right away. And I was like, I haven't developed my voice yet. I'm working on things. And this YouTube for me was the best way to do that. However, I do truly think that LinkedIn is an excellent place, and that is where we will be going next when we get ready to make the next step in our progression, because we have a 10-year timeline, and the first year was, hey, getting in front of the camera and delivering content. The next step is now, how do we add more value, and how do we, you know, tell more stories and give more personal aspects of my life as a project manager in general that you can learn from and take what I've experienced, so you won't make the same mistakes, or I should say Yeah, let's call them mistakes. Same mistakes that I've made, you could actually be better. So, all right, here's my closing remarks, family. If you don't remember anything else that we've discussed today, here are three things I truly want you to understand. The first one is choose education that fills the gap. I had a coach that said something to me that was so powerful. And he said, I hate sharing this with you. He said, because my job is to sell you courses, but I don't want you to take a course that is not going to be valuable for you. Meaning that he said to me in so many words, what he was saying to me was, hey, don't take this course just because it sounds good, but take it because you have a gap in your area. So here's an example. If you're a new project manager, let's say you're a coordinator and you want to transition into project management. If you don't have your CAPM and you believe the CAPM is important, which I do, but again, it's subjective, you should be studying the CAPM material. You should be studying vocabulary, understanding the lingo, understanding schedules and things of that nature. That is filling a gap for you because you don't understand currently right now because you're a coordinator. Unless you've been a coordinator for, you know, X amount of years, then of course you would know the lingo as well as understand the different aspects of project management. But I'm saying if you're new, if you're less than a year, yeah, you probably want to go after your CAPM. I would, if I was mentoring you, if I was coaching you, I would say, hey, how serious are you about this? Hey, you all in? Go get your CAPM first before you go get your PMP, even though I know you wouldn't have the experience just yet to get your PMP, but we want to start with the CAPM. And then eventually we want to move to the PMP after you get some more years and experiences under your belt. Plus it's going to allow you to know, hey, is this something that just sounded good at the time that you was interested in, that you thought you was committed to? So you don't have so much skin in the game that you feel frustrated that, man, I should have never got started. So I always recommend that going after the CAPM is such a great certification. At the same time, watching videos like this so you can learn from. All right, point number two, immerse yourself in the project management culture. I talked about that as well. Understanding the lingo, being around other project managers and how they're communicating information, how they're building their schedules out, how they're building a project management plan out. These are going to be key things for you. And the last and final point is elevate your communication with empathy. Listen, like I told you before, the story I shared with you at a very high level is that how would you handle that someone is on your project and they had a family emergency? Are you going to have enough empathy, or are you going to say, man, why are you leaving? Don't leave. You should have let me know something earlier. And they just said it was a family emergency and nothing that they could have controlled. So you have to learn how to have empathy, but still hold them accountable for what is going to be required, and see if you can find someone else. Go to their hiring manager and see if you can find someone that could step into their place, if it's going to be a long-term or a long-term type of approach. So again, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. This is very powerful because a lot of people out there would love to be project managers, which is awesome. I want more people in this field because I think it's just a beautiful field. And I wanted to give you my version for 2024. Next year, we'll have it for 2025 to see what's changed, if anything changed at all. So again, family, thank you so much for watching this. Hit that like button, hit the subscribe, show your boy some love.